Like many things we are involved with in our lives, simple things that we need and we all have is oftentimes taken for granted. Do we actually comprehend the simplest things we utilize and are aware of, wondering perhaps to ourselves how necessary these tools are and how vital they are in our lives? You know, one such example that we all take for granted is electricity. And most people don't even understand what it is. What do we know about it? We simply turn on a light switch, or we start any appliance, or we push a button and something works. When we woke up this morning, we pushed a button and the blinds opened. Of course, those of us who are rich that can afford those things. Or we just turned on a light switch. Or how about when we went into the kitchen and we cooked breakfast on our oven? Those who make elaborate breakfasts, or we can just simply make oatmeal with sliced fruit, like grapefruit, for example. Or we went to our garages and we unplugged our cars. You know, for those of us who drive hybrid vehicles or electric cars, I don't think any of us do. Or perhaps we charged up our cars before we headed out, you know, for those of us who drive around in clown cars. But on the contrary, it's only when there is no electric power available that we start to consider the importance of it in our daily personal and working lives. Like when we have a power outage, for example. How left in the dark we really are. We don't know what we do during that time, right? Recognizing the source in the invention of the machine to generate power is preceded by the invention of the printing press in the list of major contributions to the advancement of human civilization. However, without electricity, we would be burning wood and coal to heat our homes and businesses, and we'd be using oils and candles to light our way in the dark, like we would do during a power outage. Have we done that before? A lot of times, of course, our power outages usually occur in the night. So this is the way it was for many centuries, years ago, before electricity was even invented. Only since the invention of the electric generator have humans been able to advance in every aspect of modern life. In fact, modern life is defined by electric power. Now, there's one individual I want to speak about that has to do with electricity, and which I'm sure many of you know who I'm talking about here. And this is just something I stumbled upon the internet because I needed to know facts about it. And this had to do with Ben Franklin. Among many who dabbled on the invention of electricity. Now, he was a great American inventor and an innovator. His electrical experiments formed the basis for other inventions that we are using today. His electricity experiments included an infamous event in the summer of 1752 when he made a kite with silk. I'm sure we've all heard about this story. And he sent it up with a cord that was made of hemp. Now, to avoid damaging the paper under the rain, he used silk instead of paper. And the top of the end was an iron point, and at the bottom part of the string was a key. Accompanied by his son, Ben Franklin raised the kite while staying under a shed to avoid getting wet. Was it coincidence? Who knows? The long way almost made him give up until he noticed loose fibers on the string. When his knuckle touched the key, he received a strong spark with an electrifying sensation. The key drew repeated sparks that charged the vial, and all the experiments made yielded electricity. Now, he was a very smart man. He was not afraid to experiment. When a thought popped into his head, like lightning is a source of electricity, he had a determination to prove it. The story is that he and his three friends were trying to analyze static electricity and experiment with it. Now, two of his friends got electrocuted while they were working on this, So Franklin then decided to do the kite experiment alone. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever been electrocuted, but I know I have been one time. It wasn't that bad, but it was enough to feel the power of what electricity can do. And that's when I was wet, got out of a jacuzzi, and it was actually at my parents' house, and I stepped onto an electrical cord, and the whole shock went up my leg, and you can just feel it go all the way up through my body and out of my arms, and I can actually see blue. All the lights went off, because that's when the power, you know, shut off, and you had to go in and start to power up again. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't even know what happened until after the fact. It was a weird sensation. That was just a minor, you know, electrocution. But anyway, that's all I can remember from that. Ben Franklin's experiments on electricity became the foundation of many inventions, such as electricity, batteries, incandescent light bulbs, electromagnetic fields, generators, transformers, and other related items. His experiments became the origin of the plus and the minus nomenclature that are still in use today, what we could see in batteries, obviously what's a positive, what's a negative. And these positive and negative charges helped identify the atmospheric and frictional electricity. So, why did I want to talk about electricity today? You know, it is proven, and that analogies are usually a great tool to spark interest to prove a point, which I'm attempting to do so. Remember what I said in the very beginning when I started, that the simple things that we need and that we all have is oftentimes taken for granted, and how vital it is in our lives. When we were all baptized, something happened to us spiritually, which would change our lives for the better, an incredible gift from God for us to use and to not take for granted. So what was this special gift? I'm speaking rhetorically here because I know we all know that the answer was the Holy Spirit that was given to us. So what is the correlation? In a limited way, the Holy Spirit, as a manifestation of God's power, can be compared to the flow of electric power. As we know, electricity flows through conductive wires from its source to the devices using it. As long as this flow of electric current from its source is uninterrupted, those devices have use of its power. But any interruption of the electrical current goes hand in hand by a loss of power to the devices using it. So it is essential that there is a constant contact with the source of the electric power. The same is true of God's Spirit. Either we use it or we don't. We do not have the capacity to permanently store the power of the Holy Spirit for use when we don't feel like serving God. If we discontinue our relationship with God, we cut ourselves off from the power, from His power, that is working in us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us that our inward man needs to be renewed day by day. And I will touch upon that in a moment. Now, taken from one of our Q&As on the Holy Spirit and defining what it is, God's Spirit in us is not static, which means electricity that does not flow in a current. It must be used by us. God's Holy Spirit is compared with living waters. As living waters flow, so God's Holy Spirit within us must flow from us towards others. That is, others must be able to recognize the effects of God's Spirit within us. If you could please turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 10. Now, this story had to do with a Samaritan woman who meets Christ. And the Christ answers and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The Spirit here is compared to living water. And then drop down to verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The Holy Spirit here again is compared with living water, which is to be poured out. And if you go to chapter 7 of John, chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, which those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." As you can see here, only a glorified God being can give his Holy Spirit to others. No man can do that. So as God's Spirit is to flow through us and out of us toward others, it must be renewed on a regular basis. Now, how is it supposed to be renewed on a regular basis? One such way is regular prayer. If we constantly pray and we constantly have that communication with God, then that is a way we are renewed on a regular basis, so that we can be constantly filled with it. The Holy Spirit, that is. Turn to Psalms chapter 51. In Psalms chapter 51, verse 10 and 11, we read about a prayer that David had given among many prayers that he had done. In verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." As you can see, David needed God's Spirit to be successful, as we all do. Rather than quenching the Holy Spirit within us, we must be led by and follow the lead of the Spirit. And we could read about that in Romans 8:14 and also Luke 4:1. So as I conclude, let's imagine it in this way. Think of it as a battery that needs charging to function. When a battery is fully charged, it works at its full potential. But eventually, it will need to be recharged before it loses its power. Now, we in the same sense are that way, since we need to be renewed by God's Holy Spirit. Now, when we take the Passover, which is going to be this Sunday, we are renewed, fully charged to live a life pleasing to God, continuing to live that way. And thereafter, as we take the Passover every single year, we need a constant recharge. When we start to become weak, we need a boost. And if we do not recharge ourselves, we will slip away and will lose all power. We can't let that happen to us, to wither away, but we must re-energize ourselves and allow God's Spirit to dwell in us.